Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Byron Howell, and this is the Byron Howell Ministries podcast. Today, we are going to talk about victory in your healing journey. As many of you know, I have spoken a lot about divine healing, and I've also written a book called Understanding and Receiving Divine Healing, which is available on Amazon. If you are going through any kind of medical situation, or if you have any friends or loved ones who are, I highly encourage you to read it. In the book, I go through all the basics on divine healing and show you how any Christian can receive God's healing power for any medical problem. Today, I will talk about three great revelations I've received and how they relate to divine healing. What I mean by revelation is that I'm going to look at three passages from the Bible that have become very clear and very important to me. These are three passages where I truly had a moment where the Holy Spirit opened my understanding to them. So just to be clear, I'm not talking about, you know, some sort of oddball, you know, unscriptural revelation or something like that. But I really experience revelation when I just have one of these light bulb moments and the Word of God becomes clear to me. And that's just such a wonderful moment. And the more you spend time with God's Word, the more you're going to have those moments for yourself. But, you know, for today's kind of topics that we're going to discuss, I really think you can take these three passages and use them to both obtain your healing and exit your healing journey. I know that's a strong statement, but by the end of this teaching, I think you'll see what I mean. Nobody wants to be on a healing journey for years. God doesn't want you on a healing journey for years. But how do you get out, especially when the doctors tell you that you need to keep coming in for checkups or to keep taking the medicine? Today, I'm also going to spend some time discussing the Bible's instantaneous healings and why we don't see that as much today. I think this will help you understand your own healing journey and how to see victory in healing, or really in any faith journey. Some of you may have been on a long healing journey. I know that can be hard as you live with the appointments and the medicines and the other complications a healing journey brings to your life. It can also be very hard to study the Bible about healing for a long time and still not receive, you know, manifestation or the physical impact of what you're seeing in the Word of God. Perhaps for our time together today, just try to relax a little bit and listen as if you've never really focused on healing before. Even if you've been doing this for years, even if you've been in this for a long time, you know, I want you to hear this teaching fresh. And don't hear it through everything else you've already learned or through any frustration you may be feeling. And, you know, if at the end of this, you know, it doesn't help you, you know, just discard it. Go back to the things that are working, you know, the best for you. Don't worry about it. But I really believe that this teaching and the passages we're going to talk about today are really going to help you. Now, I'm not going to spend time today showing you that healing is always God's will. I hope you know that by now. But if not, please go back and listen to my other teachings on healing. Regardless of what anyone thinks, God's will is healing all the time, every time. God's will for you, my friend, is healing and an end to your healing journey. However, we must remember that while God wants healing for all of us, God's healing will is not automatic. And the devil does not want you out of your healing journey. It's crucial that you understand this. God is not in heaven with lightning bolts of healing power that he just shoots down at people as he wills. In fact, whether you get healed is not up to God. Now, I know that statement might sound crazy, but think of it this way. Whether the lights are turned on in your house right now is not up to the power company. The power company has supplied the power. It's up to you to flip the switch. God has turned on the power plant in heaven, and his healing power is completely available to every Christian. Jesus paid the bill for you to have a lifetime supply of unlimited healing power. But you must flip the switch in your body. You must take specific actions to see God's healing power flow to your need. The first of my three great revelations or moments of wonderful clarity with God's word that I will discuss today concerns the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Meditating on this miracle specifically unlocked my understanding of divine healing. This miracle helps us understand that God's healing power is completely available to us, and we just need to take it. This is Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him, meaning Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." My friends, Jesus did not take deliberate action to heal this woman. Jesus did not decide to heal her. In fact, Jesus didn't do anything to heal her. She simply walked up to the power switch and turned it on. To put it another way, she walked up to the power source and plugged herself in. She realized that healing power was inside of Jesus, and she only needed to touch him and she would be healed. Many people touched Jesus, but at this moment, only she was healed. That's because she was the only one who touched him in faith for healing. When she touched him in faith, when she turned on the healing power switch for herself, God's healing power immediately flowed into her body. God's healing power still has the same type of availability. You just have to take it. It's right there for you, no matter what your medical problem. You can just go and take his healing power for yourself. That understanding alone totally revolutionizes your approach to divine healing. Please cement this into your mind. God's healing power is available. You must take it. However, Jesus is not walking around on the earth anymore. You cannot go and touch his physical body. But if you are a Christian, according to Romans 8:11, God's healing power resides in your body already. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your body now. Furthermore, you also have Jesus' authority over sickness and disease. Look at Luke 9:1 and Mark 13:34. You just need to direct this power and authority to your physical need. My friends, the healing power of God, enough power to heal every medical need you could ever have, is already in you, and you have the legal right to use it on demand. The Bible shows us a number of ways that we can flip the switch so that healing power will flow into our bodies. You need to use one of them. Sure, the doctor's treatments may work for you, and if they do, that's wonderful. Praise God. Your body's internal healing mechanisms may also work for you, and if they do, that's wonderful. Praise God. But if you want to use God's healing power, you need to do it according to the Bible's teaching. Mark 16:18 tells us that Christians can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16:17 tells us that Christians can cast out devils. As we see in the Gospels, sometimes a medical problem is caused by an unclean spirit in a person's body. That was true in the days of Jesus, and it's still true today. James 5:14-15 tells us that a sick person can have the elders of the church pray for him, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. We can use our words and rebuke a sickness or even release healing power. Two examples are when Jesus rebuked the fever afflicting Peter's mother-in-law, or when Jesus told the man with the withered hand to stretch out his hand for healing. Also, we can go see someone with a spiritual gift described in 1 Corinthians 12, such as the gifts of healing or the working of miracles, and God will work through them to deliver healing to our bodies. We can also take the healing promises from God's word and stand in faith on those promises and receive them as our inheritance. I talk a lot about that in my book on healing, and I think it should be combined with the laying on of hands or releasing God's power through words. But all of these are ways that we can see God's healing power flow into our physical bodies. when we kind of lay them out like that, I mean, it's truly awesome. It's wonderful. It's pretty surprising, really. There's that many different ways that God has given us to see his healing power, his supernatural, miracle-working healing power flow into our physical bodies. And let me just say, and I don't want to digress, but, you know, the Bible's systems are designed to make sure you get your inheritance. And frequently, there isn't just one way. God wants you to receive his promises, his inheritance, his blessing so badly that he's designed the faith and grace system. He's designed all these systems and ways of seeing his power flow in the Bible to make sure you get your healing. Remember what Jesus told the woman, I believe it was the Syrophoenician woman, who had the daughter who needed healing. He said, healing is the children's bread and you're the children. Okay, let's keep going. Today's next revelation concerns faith that our prayers are answered or faith that God's healing power works immediately. After you use a biblical method to tap into God's healing power, you need to have faith that it worked. Let me state this very clearly. When you use one of the mechanisms to receive God's healing power, you must believe that it worked immediately, even if you don't see any physical signs that it worked. When we correctly tap into God's healing power, it flows into our bodies immediately. Our prayers are answered immediately. I know most of us pray and then we don't see anything in the natural immediately, but our prayers, our declarations of faith, our biblical connections with God's power, they all actually work immediately. I received this understanding from 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15, which I will now read. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, when you pray for anything according to God's will, the answer is yes, and God releases the answer instantly. I'm going to say that again because it is so radical and revolutionary to how we typically think. When you pray for anything according to God's will, the answer is yes, and God releases the answer instantly. Even if you don't see it yet, God answered your prayer, and as far as God is concerned, it's done. We just need to be patient. How many times does Jesus tell us to pray and that what we ask for will be done? I count at least 10. Matthew 7:11, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 21:22, Mark 11:24, John 14:13, John 14:14, John 15:7, John 15:16, John 16:23, and John 16:24. But how many times have you prayed for something and not seen the answer to your prayer? I'm sure, like me, you've prayed not see the answer many times. Is God's word not true? Is Jesus wrong about our prayers? The short answer is that God's word is true, and Jesus was not wrong. God has been answering many of our prayers, all of our prayers, in fact, that are according to his will. But we haven't had the correct faith and patience to see the answer show up in the natural realm. One important part of the problem is that we are often asking God for things which are not his will, but we don't need to engage in that analysis today. We're talking about healing, and we already know that healing is God's will all the time, every time. So when I'm praying for healing, or when I'm laying hands on the sick, or when I'm casting out a demon, or when I'm using my words to direct God's healing power, or when I'm standing on a healing promise from the Bible, or when I'm doing anything else that the Bible shows me will direct God's healing power, I know that I'm in line with God's will. And when I'm praying and acting in line with God's will, then according to 1 John 5, 14 through 15, I know it worked, that God has answered my prayer, that God's power is flowing, that the demon has left, that I have my petition, so on and so forth, every single time. And I have it immediately. Now, here is a great key. You must forever separate two things in your mind. You must separate God's answering your prayer from the physical manifestation of that answer. Let me say it another way. Regardless of what you see in the natural realm, you must believe that God has answered your prayer immediately. The Bible tells us that our prayers in line with God's will are answered every single time. So that's what we must believe. I talked about this a bit last episode, especially in the context of Mark 11. When you make a prayer or declaration of faith, you need to believe that it worked instantly. Just because you don't see the answer instantly doesn't mean God didn't answer your prayer. Manifestation is a separate issue. God answered my prayer immediately. The healing power started flowing immediately, and I must remain in faith that it's done even while I'm waiting to see it in the natural. God's answer to my prayer and the physical manifestation of that answer are two separate issues. But knowing that God's part is done, that God's yes answer has been given immediately, and that God's healing power is flowing now, greatly helps me stay in faith until I see the manifestation. Now we are going to spend a few minutes talking about instantaneous miracles and why we don't see them as often in the world today, at least not in our American world. With very few exceptions, the healing miracles shown in the Bible are virtually all instantaneous. Maybe they're not instantaneous like the same second, but certainly, you know, any reasonable definition, like within a few seconds or a couple of minutes or something like that. I mean, they are on-the-spot miracles. Several of Jesus' healing miracles involve him casting out an unclean spirit. Once the spirit left, the person immediately received the manifestation of their healing. Most of Jesus' other healings involve him using a spiritual gift, such as the working of miracles or the gifts of healing. Typically, when one is healed through a spiritual gift, the healing is immediate. We should also recognize that many of the healings performed by the apostles were also through a spiritual gift. My friends, that is a very different spiritual operation from you standing in faith to inherit one of God's promises. The first key to understanding why the Bible's healings were immediate is understanding that those were mostly healings through a spiritual gift or removing a demon. Many healings today are God's word working in your body over time. Furthermore, we should recognize that Jesus had perfect, doubtless faith. In addition to his perfect faith, he constantly walked in complete authority over the unclean spirits around him. If he encountered an unclean spirit, he recognized it and he dealt with it. Jesus' doubtless faith and perfect spiritual discernment undoubtedly helped tremendously. And this is another reason why he typically saw such quick results in his healing ministry. Many of the people who came to Jesus and the apostles for healing also had strong faith. Honestly, I think it would be easy to have faith when you see a bunch of other people get healed in the healing line ahead of you. Many of the people who got healed either had seen others get healed first or had heard of others being healed. So when many of those people received a word or a touch for healing, there was strong faith on both sides. Remember, Jesus had perfect faith. He knew it was going to work. He understood this in a level that we can't even fathom, right? He knew it was going to work. He had perfect faith. But on the other side of the equation, the people receiving, they also had good faith, strong faith, you know, largely born out of the experiences and the testimonies, the people they were seeing get healed and hearing about get healed. Remember that doubt and unbelief will still hinder the flow of God's power. Jesus didn't have any doubt or unbelief, and a lot of those people didn't have much of it either. But even Jesus was limited when the people had doubt or unbelief. And we see this limitation in Mark 6 when Jesus went to Nazareth. He didn't do a lot of miracles there. He couldn't do a lot of healings there because of the unbelief. One time, I was working in the prayer line at a healing meeting. This woman came up to me for prayer. She had fallen in a broken chair at work and had seriously injured her shoulder. So I laid hands on her and prayed. I then told her to move her arm and do what she couldn't do before. But she wouldn't. She even joked about suing the church if it made her arm worse. She had so little faith that the prayer worked, she wouldn't even try to move her arm. All of the healing power of heaven could have flowed into her body, but her unbelief immediately blocked it from doing anything for her. Now, that woman might be perfectly well today, and I hope she is. But I know that healing power flowed from my hands into her body, because that's what Mark 16 tells me is what happened. But she had no faith that it worked. And this is not meant to be an attack on her. She, you know what? My guess is she was suing the employer for the broken chair. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of other things going on. She was probably in some serious pain. So, you know what? I can cut her a lot of slack. And you know, but the bottom line is, when I prayed, when I told her to step out in faith and move her arm, she was doing nothing. And if at that moment, right there, the heavens had opened and God had looked down and said, "Lady, according to your faith, be it unto you," she wouldn't have been better at all. And see, that's a major problem. You know, what is the level of faith in the people receiving when they're trying to in the prayer line? You know, the presence of doubt and unbelief today is a big problem and a big reason we don't see many instantaneous miracles, at least not in everyday America. Also, many churches don't even give people a chance to receive prayer from the elders or the laying on of hands. They don't believe in divine healing anymore, at least not as they should. Even fewer churches have someone with an actual spiritual gift for miracles or healing. I was at a church for a long time. I mean, a good church that gets people saved, church where a lot of good things happen. And to be honest, I'm not sure if in 10 years they ever gave an invitation for people to come up and receive prayer for healing. Now, they generally believe in healing, and they would have testimonies and things like that. And we did have some healing meetings there where there was, you know, specific healing opportunities, but day in and day out, there's not that opportunity to come and receive that prayer. And that's absolutely what I've found in my travels. I've been to many, many churches now. And, you know, I would say that's the norm. But, you know, even aside from that, even fewer churches have someone with an actual spiritual gift for healing or miracles. I mean, I've never seen someone propped up and they said, you know, this person actually has the gift of miracles or the gift of healing. Even though I might know some people that I actually believe do have those gifts, you know, certainly that's not put on display today like it should be, because those gifts are out there. Those gifts have been deposited by the Holy Spirit into people. But it's very, very rare to see these gifts presented in any way that give other people the opportunity to receive. And let me just say this to you, to those of you who want to go find someone with such a gift or have someone lay hands on you, before you go, get your faith right. Get in faith that it's going to work, that you know that when the man or woman of God lays hands on you, the power of God will flow into your body and you will be healed immediately. Study the Word of God for healing before you go. Meditate the Word, confess the Word, pray in the Spirit, that's praying in tongues. Then stay in faith that it worked, even if you don't feel anything immediately. I heard a teaching just like I just suggested to you, and it was from Kenneth Hagin, who's now home with the Lord. But I took this teaching and I got stirred up in my faith, and I went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, and I got him to lay hands on me for my back, and I was healed instantly. Now, instantly, you know, it was maybe a minute. It was maybe a minute or two. He prayed. I didn't feel anything that instant, but I laid down. I believed I received. I stayed in faith. When the man of God laid hands on me, the power of God flowed into me, and by Jesus' stripes, my back was healed. And after about a minute, my back started spasming. It was the craziest thing. I was not, you know, a solid Christian at this time. I just got a hold of this teaching and I had a back problem, right? But I went, I did what the Word of God says. The man of God lays hands on me. I stayed in faith and I received an absolute 100% pure miracle. One of those powerful moments in my life. Now look, I'm sure there are other reasons that we don't see as many instantaneous miracles in the world today, but they certainly haven't disappeared. In other countries where the people are more open spiritually, they don't have the same doubts. There are still some Christians with true spiritual gifts operating and seeing miracles, and you especially see that, you know, in the big evangelism meetings on the foreign field. But look, I digressed to talk about this instantaneous miracles because the other day, you know, someone kind of brought this to my attention, and so I really spent some time thinking about it. And, you know, considering what is happening in the Word of God when we see all these instantaneous miracles. And I really felt that this discussion would help you, especially for those of you who are in a healing journey. You know, why didn't I get it instantaneous? Well, that's probably not what you're going for, my friend. You know, you're probably looking to receive the manifestation of God's Word working in your body. But even if you are pursuing healing this way through a gift, through a touch, through an elder, you know, we need to have rock solid faith that the instant you were prayed for, it worked, the healing power of God flowed, and you're standing in faith and patience for your manifestation. But I have come to believe that one of the most significant enemies to divine healing, at least in this day and age, is people expecting it to work immediately and then giving up their faith if it doesn't. I'm going to say that again because I believe this is a really strong realization from God. I've come to believe that one of the most significant enemies to divine healing in this day and age is people expecting it to work immediately and then giving up their faith if it doesn't. Now, I simply can't overstate the importance of what I'm about to share. This applies to healing and every other area of your life. This will revolutionize your prayer life, and this will dramatically increase your success in prayer. My friends, this will change your life. The third revelation or, you know, passage from the Word of God that the Lord in His mercy and grace has really opened up to me comes from the parable of the sower. Now, you are probably familiar with the parable of the sower, which appears in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. Now, you've probably heard it during a sermon about money or giving. Now, that's definitely, you know, the context that I heard most about the parable of the sower. You give, and then you'll receive 30, 60, 100-fold. And while it is true that biblical finances do work according to the principles of seed time and harvest, the parable of the sower specifically is not about money. That was a tremendous realization for me. The parable of the sower, in fact, is about how to see the Word of God produce in our lives. And we will now review this parable. And I'm going to look at several verses from Matthew, Mark, and Luke for this discussion. We're going to look at a few passages all from the parable of the sower and really try to get some understanding here. Now, this is Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Luke 8:11. Jesus says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Matthew 13:19. Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Now Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now let's put these verses together and gain a better understanding of the parable of the sower And let's understand how this applies to our healing and, in fact, to receiving anything from God's word. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is your heart. When you sow the word of God into your heart, it will be attacked a number of ways so that it won't produce. Let me say that again. I feel like I've said attacked funny, but this is so, so important. You sow the word of God, you read it, you confess it, you listen to it at church. Those are all different ways that we sow the word of God, and we're sowing it into our hearts. But when you do that, it will be attacked a number of ways so that it won't produce. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep this word of healing from producing. He wants to keep this word of prosperity, of good relationships, of a good marriage, of all the blessings that God has freely available to you as your inheritance as one of his children. He wants to keep the word of God from producing. And so that word of God is going to be attacked. But if you believe the word, and if you protect it, and if you have patience, then the word of God will bear fruit in your life. Fundamentally, the parable of the sower is about how we can take God's word and use it to produce God's will in our natural lives. God's word shows us God's will, both his written word and his spoken word that he speaks directly to us. We must hear God's word and allow it into our hearts. This includes both his words that show us his will and his word that shows us how to get it. For example, his word promises us both healing and that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. His word promises us both financial prosperity and that we can sow bountifully and reap bountifully. Again, his word shows us his will and how to get it. Suppose I have a medical problem with my leg. I know that God's will is healing, so I lay hands on my leg and say, "Leg, be healed in Jesus' name. Any unclean spirits afflicting my body, I take authority over you in Jesus' name, and I command you away from my body, never to return. Healing power of God, in Jesus' name, I send you to my leg and to restore my health and heal my wounds. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed." You see, everything I just said and did totally lines up with God's will and God's word. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, I have correctly tapped into God's healing power. And according to 1 John 5:14 through 15, which we read a few minutes ago, God has heard me and I have what I pray. God answered my prayer instantly. The healing power started flowing instantly. And furthermore, I have sowed God's word of healing into my heart. Now that I have sown God's word of healing into my heart, according to Luke 8:15, I must keep it and bear fruit with patience. The devil is going to try to steal the word. Perhaps I can't feel the healing yet, or I still feel a symptom. Perhaps I'm worried about a recurrence or some symptom coming back. Perhaps the doctors tell me I need some sort of medicine. You see, there are rocks and birds and weeds and a scorching sun and all sorts of things that want to steal this word, or one way or another, keep it from producing the fruit of healing in my life. God's word is designed to produce God's will in your life, and this is how we do it. There are many enemies to this process and many things that will stop God's will from happening in your life, but you can't let them. And notice how Jesus puts the onus on us. We have to have the faith in the word of God. We have to keep the word of God. We have to protect it. We can't let the outside influences choke it. And we have to be patient. And if we will do these things, then the word of God will produce the will of God in your life. And what's going to happen if this word gets stolen out of my heart? What happens if this word gets choked or withers? Even if I received an instantaneous miracle and I'm totally healed, what's going to happen if this seed gets destroyed in my heart because I didn't have any depth, or I let something else, you know, come and steal the word? Well, then the word won't bear fruit. And even what growth I may have experienced will be destroyed. And for those of you paying close attention, that is why after a healing meeting where so many people are miraculously healed, when they visit those people a month later and a lot of them lost their healing, and then they say, oh, this is a sham, it didn't work, it's all fake, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. The word of God was sown into those people's heart. The healing power of God flowed. They received an immediate manifestation, but unfortunately, they didn't have the soil. And that word got scorched, and then that word could no longer produce. And it's tragic and it's sad, but that's the truth. And that's why, you know, we got to couple the healing ministry, the evangelism ministry, you know, to the extent we can. We got to couple it with discipleship and get people in good churches and get people into the Word of God to help this soil. Because, you know, there are those of you, you've been with the Lord a long time. You know the Lord. You have prepared your heart. When you hear the Word of God in church or in a sermon or just read the Word of God, you can feel that Word of God getting planted deep in your heart. And you believe. But now we have to keep it. We have to keep it with faith. We have to keep it with patience. And we have to believe that I have what the Word of God says God wants me to have. And if I keep this Word, it will produce. Look, we must remember Luke 8:15 tells us to keep the word of God and be patient. That is exactly like Hebrews 6:12, which tells us that we inherit the promises through faith and patience. You keep the word by believing it and protecting it from all doubts and unbelief. You keep the word by keeping your faith in the word intact and rock solid, regardless of what would attack your faith or tell you it didn't work. Again, listen to my last teaching about defeating doubt. You must protect the word and be patient. But if you will keep the word with doubtless faith, with patience, then you will have your manifestation every single time. We must remember that even though God has said yes to our prayers and released our answers, it might take some time before the answers show up in the natural realm. Andrew Womack, the awesome Bible teacher out of Colorado, he looks at the book of Daniel to illustrate this point, and it's fascinating. Twice, God answers Daniel's prayers with an angel, an angelic visitation. And both times, it says that God answered Daniel's prayers instantly. But the first time, the angel showed up in only 3 minutes, and the second time, it took 3 weeks. The second time, the angel shows up, and you know, it took all these weeks, the angel explains, look, a demonic spirit hindered me, and I had to have another angel come and help me out so I can get to you. You see, if an angel can be resisted from coming to you because of a demonic spirit, and an angel has to travel some distance in the unseen realm. I mean, I'm not suggesting I understand all of that, but let's just be honest. If those things are going on, then yes, there are different things that can hinder your manifestation in the natural realm. But you must accept that a delay in the natural realm does not mean your prayer wasn't answered. Just because your healing didn't manifest perfectly and completely, that has nothing to do with the fact that God wants you healed and that God has immediately released all the healing power you will ever need. You have to separate that in your mind, my friend. Just stay in faith and be patient. It can take time for the seed of God's word to produce healing in your body. Seeds take time to produce in the natural, and they take time to produce in the spiritual. Just remember what is going on here. The parable of the sower teaches us how it works, that we take the word of God, this unseen, this written word, this spiritual seed, and by accepting it in our hearts and in our minds, we've now sowed it into the soil of our heart. And that unseen, that word, right, will literally grow from the unseen realm in our spirit, in our heart, and produce a natural manifestation of God's will. What a fascinating reality. But it can take some time. And that's just the way it is. And while these times of patience can be difficult, we have things we should do. Take authority over any unclean spirits that might be resisting you. Remember, Daniel wasn't a Christian. Jesus hadn't come and defeated death, hell, and the grave. And, you know, all of that hadn't happened yet. Daniel didn't have this authority over the unclean spirits, but you do, praise the Lord. So you take authority over any unclean spirits that might be harming your body or resisting your manifestation. And this doesn't just apply to healing, it applies to anything. You know, worship. I believe there's a passage in Psalms that talks about, you know, worship stills the avenger. You know, there's something about worship that literally blocks the demonic forces from operating against you. Pray for any other people that might be involved in your situation. You know, that last one may not apply so much to healing, but to many other areas of life, especially finances, jobs, marriage, family. You know, you got to pray for these other people that are involved. Who knows what unclean spirits are doing against their lives or what's going on? So you got to pray for them. Remember that hearing God's word causes faith to increase. I believe that's Romans 10:17, and that praying in the Spirit builds you up on your most holy faith. I believe that's Jude 1:20. Remember also that prayer and fasting removes doubt and unbelief. Remember, that's when Jesus healed that demon-possessed boy. He said, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. He wasn't talking about the demon, right? The name of Jesus alone is enough to take care of any demon. He was talking about unbelief. Prayer and fasting removes doubt and unbelief from your life. And again, I've talked about that before, so please listen to my messages on faith last week about defeating doubt. But look, so just to recap, you know, worship, take authority over the unclean spirits, command them to stop operating against you, pray for other people that might be involved, hear the word of God, confess the word of God, that causes your faith to rise, praying in tongues, praying in your prayer language, that builds you up on your most holy faith, and engage in prayer and fasting, because that helps remove doubt and unbelief. These are the things that we should do that help us keep the word protected in our hearts and stay in patience while we wait for the manifestation. And they also can greatly speed up the manifestation by, you know, really dealing with anything that might be coming against our faith process, right? Our prayer process. And just as a quick note, don't do anything that will work against the healing power of God in your body. You know, it's going to be tough to lose weight if you eat fast food every day. Now, look, I eat fast food sometimes, so believe me, I'm not condemning anybody, but everything in moderation, right? And if you're doing things that'll hurt your body, that can hinder the physical growth of this word of God that's growing into the natural realm. We don't want to fight against what God's trying to do in our lives. You know, similarly, God told me, you know, if I sit in this chair all day, every day, you know, I'm in here, I'm in this chair for the word of God. I'm in this chair for, as a real estate lawyer, you know, 8 hours a day is not, you know, a small amount of time on the regular for me to be in this chair. But God said, look, if you sit like that all day, every day, I can only do so much to help your back. So I go on walks. I walk the dog. I run. I exercise. My back is perfect. Praise God. And obviously that's the healing power of God, but that's also operating in kind of normal everyday wisdom that the Lord has also said, hey, you want to work with me for my healing power to flow? You need to be moving. You can't do things that fight against what the word of God is trying to do in your life. And I've talked about that before. You know, you want the Spirit of God and the Word of God to produce a better relationship with your kids. Well, you can't be a jerk to them. And I know it's hard. You've been working all day. They come back. They got homework. They got this. They got that. But you know what? The Lord will help you, the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else. So anyway, look, in the same way that, you know, we see the word of God work in every area of our lives, it will work immediately. It will work immediately in every area of your life, but that's because you've done the right thing according to the word of God, and that's because God's power is flowing into your situation. When you know what you're asking for, when you know what you're doing or what you're declaring is in line with the word of God, then God has heard you, God has answered yes, and the power is flowing. And this principle works for every area of our lives when you're working in line with God's will, when you're trying to see God's will become a reality in your life. In the same way a seed grows over time, your answer to your prayer, including your healing, or your relationship with your kids, or your prosperity, or whatever it is that you're going after that is God's will for your life, it will grow over time. The word of God sown into your heart starts to produce in the natural realm. Just back to healing. You know, first the symptoms aren't so bad. Then maybe you have more energy. Then maybe your blood work starts to look better. Then your scans look better. Whatever the situation may be, it's okay if the healing manifests over time. And believe me, I know sometimes there are emergency situations and things like that. I get that. And there's all sorts of different hypotheticals we could talk about. But just settle it in your mind that God has answered your prayer, that the healing power of God has flowed. You're going to keep the word with patience and you will have your harvest. And it's okay if it takes some time. It's not that God wants you in a long healing journey, but the word is working in your heart and in your body to produce God's will. And I promise you, if you do those things that we talked about, you know, worship, prayer, fasting, praying in tongues, taking authority over the unclean spirits, those are drastically going to hasten the manifestation of your answered prayer. You know, there might be various reasons it's taking time, but stay in faith and stay close to God so he can tell you to do anything you need to do in the natural for any reason, including overcome anything resisting you. You want to be paying close attention to the Spirit of God for any specific direction he gives you. We should also resist the devil, according to James 4:7. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee. This is faith's corresponding action discussed in James chapter 2. This is an example. You know, James says faith without works is dead, right? Well, what we have to do is when we're standing in faith, we need to be looking and paying attention for those corresponding actions that the Word of God, or excuse me, that the Spirit of God leads us to do. You know, I hurt my arm 6 months ago. It was hurting bad. And I was praying about it, and I heard clearly from the Spirit of God, you got to keep working out. And I thought, you know, that's crazy. I could really hurt myself. I could really hurt my arm. But you know what? Here we are months later, and I must have really hurt my arm because I can't say that, you know, I have 100% manifestation right this second. But I mean, I'm really, really close to 100%, right? In the 90s, and I've worked out this whole time, and it's just gotten better and better and stronger. So praise God. That's just another example. You know, endeavor to do what you couldn't do before. Command your body to get up and get moving. Command the pain out of your body. Go for a walk or a longer walk. If the devil wants to keep you in bed, then get out of bed and do something productive. If the devil wants to keep you from church, then go to church. Whatever you feel the sickness or pain or symptom preventing you from doing or trying to fight against you, because we've all been there. You don't feel good. You just want to lay in bed. No, you got to resist what the devil's trying to do in your life. Fight against the devil with your authority as a Christian, and fight against the devil with the word of God and prayer and worship, and physically resist. And if the doctors want you to get scans, then go get scans in faith. It doesn't matter, you know, if the scans don't show you're totally healed. You know that the power of God is flowing in your body, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your body, and it's flowing to every cell in your body. And over time, as you stay in faith, you protect that word, the scans will look better and better and better. And keep confessing and keep standing until you really feel that peace and rest that Hebrews 4 talks about. Those who have believed do enter rest. And that's when you know that you know that you know that you've got it. And I get it. That can be really tough when you have symptoms screaming in your face that you're not healed or that it didn't work, right? But that's when praying in the Spirit and confessing the word and fasting will really help you move into that Hebrews 4 type of peace. And that's when you know you really are in perfect faith and your manifestation is on the way. My friends, today we have covered three of my most important understandings from God's word. and we are focused on them in the context of healing. To recap, you can tap God's healing power at any time. Number two, God's healing power is released the moment you do so. And three, God's healing word is a seed that will grow up and produce healing in your body over time. These three revelations are areas of biblical clarity. They help me tremendously in healing and in every other area of my life. They help me have doubtless faith, and they help me have peace and rest in my faith journeys because I know that God's word is working mightily in my heart, and I will see God's will in my life. My friends, healing is God's will for you. And I hope today's teaching has helped you as it has helped me. And if you ever want to talk about any of this or pray together, just let me know. God bless you, and we'll talk again soon.